I have heard it said that the God of Abraham is a sick and cruel God for asking Abraham to sacrifice his son. Only some sort of a sick monster would do such a thing. And these people don't really seem to change their opinion much when they say in their minds that God said, "Oh, never mind, I was just testing." It's still sick in the view of these people. But there's a very important point that they miss, and this changes everything. It was God's life anyway. How and where and when Isaac dies is in God's hands. It always was. For us to take a life unjustly is murder. For God to take a life, it is never unjust, nor murder. It's God's life. They are all God's lives. And He always does what is best. No matter how difficult it may be for us, that fact cannot change. Everything that happens is an act of love, for all things come from God and are designed for our salvation. This fact was not lost on Abraham. As painful as it may have been, and certainly it was painful, he knew that this sacrifice he was asked to make was the best thing for himself and for his son. Abraham's faith was so great that he preferred the will of God to his own, and he proved that. He did not hate God for the command that was given to him. He would not have denied God nor abandoned him, nor served him grudgingly. His faith brought him peace and confidence. And this in no way denies the pain that he suffered in offering Isaac. And none of this is lost on the saints either. That is how they became saints, by understanding that it all belongs to God and that God desires only our happiness and holiness and that He uses all things to that end. And we can trust God. One thing that distinguishes us from the saints right now, aside from the obvious fact that they're dead and we're not, is the fact that we still have to struggle against earthly affections. God gives us many, many good things, and they are good. And we go awry by loving those gifts more than the giver. That's the ironic danger of a good thing. There are those in this world, for example, you people from out west will know what I'm talking about. There are those who find the natural world so beautiful with its mountains and rivers and sunsets that they make that their God. They move up into the mountains and commune with nature, as they say. And they don't ever understand or acknowledge that God is the one who provided them with all of that, that the creator of such beauty must be so much more beautiful than his creation. But in reality, how much more beautiful a gift when we consider he who gives it. You city dwellers will probably recognize people who have put money first in their lives. They work 80 hours a week so they can be millionaires before they turn 40. And we all recognize celebrities and sports heroes and singers and actors. They all have cool, expensive cars, big houses, every comfort imaginable, pools and arcades and wine cellars. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But they are not God. They are gifts from God who gave those people the time and talent and the good fortune to obtain all those things. God have mercy on them. The goods of this life may be the only reward they get for the use they've made of their God-given talents if they do not recognize that those things are what they are and nothing more. Merely temporal rewards, benefits, and incentives, not the end itself to be achieved. There are those who are so dedicated to the goods of the body that they have turned their bodies, meant to be temples of the Holy Ghost, into cathedrals and basilicas of self or amusement parks of hedonism. They forget that their bodies would not even be theirs if they were not given to them by God for his service and their holiness. God, who has loved them from all eternity and wants their happiness in this world as well as the next, and so has given them these pleasures as an encouragement to seek the happiness that does not end, and as a reward for faithfully using those gifts in accordance with his will. But so many want the reward without the fidelity. Mardi Gras is coming up in 2 days. Our joy at Mardi Gras, or Shrove Tuesday, is because we are bidding a farewell to those things which hinder us from our true happiness, not because those things are evil, but because they are good. And therefore, we are in danger of pursuing them instead of pursuing their author and their end. Good things are attractive. We rejoice that we are entering into this time of mortification, a death to ourself, so that we may have eternal life. That's right. If our joy is because we have one last party, one last big blowout before the misery of Lent, then we're no better off than the pleasure-seeking worldlings who know not God. We should be joyful about Mardi Gras, but not because of the pleasure or the joy that we have in it, but because we are bidding the world goodbye. We are rising to a higher plane, shaking off the yoke of slavery to the attachments of the things of this world. Dom Garanger asks, in fact, what right or title they have to share in these Shrovetide rejoicings, whose Lent will pass and find them no better or even worse than before. What meaning can there possibly be in their feast-making at Shrovetide? Oh, that Christians would stand on their guard, he says, against such delusions as these, and gain that holy liberty of children of God, which consists in not being slaves to the flesh and blood, and preserves man from a moral degradation. Let them remember that we are now in that holy season, when the church denies herself her songs of holy joy, in order the more forcibly to remind us that we are living in a Babylon of spiritual danger, and to excite us to regain that genuine Christian spirit which everything in the world around us is quietly undermining. Well, not so quiet these days. These are the words of the holy abbot of the Benedictine Monastery of Salem in the 1800s. Dom Garanger died in 1875. He was cloistered in a monastery 150 years ago. And he spoke of the dangers of the world present to Christian souls, a Babylon of spiritual dangers, he said, and of the importance of Lent for us for this very reason. 150 years ago. Could he have even imagined the world we live in today? If he'd caught even a glimpse of it, he would have thought he was seeing a vision of hell, where Satan rules supreme, and man is a slave, not free to worship God, but only able to wallow in perverted self-love. The church denies herself songs of holy joy in order the more forcibly to remind us that we are living in a Babylon of spiritual danger, and to excite us to regain that genuine Christian spirit which everything in the world around us is quietly undermining. Now here is faith like that even of Abraham. We believe in heaven because God told us of it, and God does not lie. But we cannot see heaven now. So we come back to Abraham, our father in faith. St. Paul had this to say about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when called by God, obeyed to go out into a place, went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he abode in the land, dwelling in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the co-heirs of the same promise. For he looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we are sojourners too in this world, which is not our home, and from which death will one day certainly separate us. Do we look for a city that hath its foundations, whose builder and maker is God? Or do we see with only human eyes and find the God of Abraham a cruel God? And the means to heaven as the end, and we are sad at having to give them up? We must be cautious, then, if we are not to be lost on the way and in the end never reach the promised land. See with the eyes of faith and rejoice that Lent is upon us. For we read 2 weeks ago that all were under the cloud of God's protection, but with most of them God was not well pleased. The very reason it took the Jews 40 years to reach the promised land was that God would not permit any except the faithful to enter. And so he waited for the unfaithful to die off, those who trusted in the judgments and armies of men and not in God. A whole generation. And make no mistake, it is a lesson for us. For this world is the desert, and heaven is the promised land. And what would we have said of us when we are dead and gone? He was really cool. Gee, he was rich. He was a lot of fun. Or rather, that he lived a good life. He was a peaceful man, a good man. He cared not for the things of this world. Happy is the Christian who knows and understands that this world is dust and ashes and can treat it as such, not becoming attached to it, nor allowing it to have sway over him, enjoying the good things for what they are and not allowing them to be his master. Such are the saints. In the eyes of the world, their lives and deaths were foolishness. But to the eyes of faith, they are heroes. They are free, and no man nor creature is or was their master, but only God. This world is not our home. Mardi Gras in 2 days. Let's keep in mind what we're doing. We can celebrate because we are celebrating our freedom from the things that hold us back from heaven. We are celebrating a time of great grace to overcome the weakness of the flesh. If we are not going to use this holy time of Lent to free our souls, then we have no right to celebrate. Neither Mardi Gras nor Easter. There are many who celebrate the world and the flesh at this time and have no intention of growing in holiness during Lent. Many sins are committed during Carnival, which used to be a holy time lasting from this Sunday until Ash Wednesday, 3 days of eating all the meat in the house so that it would not spoil during Lent. Hence the name Carnival, from the Latin caro, for flesh or meat. It has sadly become Bacchanalia, after the pagan god Bacchus, the god of wine and debauchery, and given Carnival a bad name. As a response to this abuse, this hijacking of a good and Catholic custom, in the spirit of the martyrs and all the saints, it has been the tradition to pray before the Blessed Sacrament exposed during this time in reparation and compassion when so many sins are committed to offend our Lord. And so, in love for our Lord, in reparation for sins committed, especially on that night, to compassionate and console Jesus, we will, here, have another night of adoration. The Blessed Sacrament will be exposed from 7 p.m. Tuesday until the 6:30 Mass on Wednesday morning. Please recall those words. Weigh them well, which we will hear again at the end of Lent. Could you not watch 1 hour with me? And consider coming to compassionate the Savior, who gave all so that we might live. Could you not watch one hour with me. May God bless you, and you all have a blessed and holy Lent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.